In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Jacques Pepin. Oh, no. It, Jacques didn't show up today. It's Chef John Ash.
Jacques is retired, you know.
Is he really?
Yeah, he really has.
So now he has more time to cruise.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Actually, he's going to be celebrating, I think, his 90th birthday this year.
Yeah.
And I hear tell that part of his partying is going to take place here in Sonoma County.
Is that right?
Did you hear about this?
No.
I'm not going to mention it until I get total confirmation about this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour, founded in October 1987. And it's just perfect to have our guest who's going to join us in about 10 minutes from Green's Restaurant, because that first cookbook that came out by Deborah Madison was released in April of 1987.
Yeah.
One of the first books we had talked about on the show, and had the pleasure of talking with the other chefs from Green's over the years, and we're going to meet the current chefs of Green's Restaurant in San Francisco in just a few minutes. So speaking of Green's,
yeah,
it's beautiful springtime out here. You wrote a fabulous book. Oh, here it is. Nine years ago. Called Cooking Wild, more than 150 recipes for eating close to nature. This is a beautiful book that you wrote.
Thank you.
And you have extracted several of the best recipes from here in honor of it being a beautiful spring here in Sonoma County. It's called Wild Spring Greens. And you've picked some of your favorites that most people can find in and around the North Bay.
Well, that's what makes it fun, is that you can go out and number one, learn to identify them, and then figure out how to use them.
And you have photos that we've just posted on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. So where did you first begin foraging for greens?
Well, I talk about in the book the... with my grandma on a ranch up in Colorado, and we would go out in springtime, and it was a chance to, you know, find things like wild asparagus, and my favorite green, wild green, was one called lamb's quarters, which is I would eat that
morning, noon, and night.
Yeah. You know, forget the spinach, give me the lamb's quarters. But it was always interesting, and it was always a chance to be with my grandma.
It's better to call it lamb's quarters than pigweed, isn't it?
Probably.
Well, because that's what it's known as too, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that you have a couple of recipes in the cookbook for that too. One of them being lamb's quarters frittata.
Yeah.
Don't think of that normally. Used the spinach or other greens?
Yeah. So anywhere you use spinach, you can use lamb's quarters. And it grows wild everywhere.
And is it good in a salad? Raw too?
Yeah, it's great.
And where would you pick this? Do you have to go in the woods, or does it grow along highways and things like this?
It grows along highways. You just need to be careful that you haven't picked stuff that's been exposed to gasoline fumes and stuff like that.
Okay, so the further off the road, the better. Yeah. So lamb's quarters is one. And the photos that you'll see on our KSRO website has beautiful color photos of these: stinging nettle, fiddlehead ferns, dandelion, purslin, ramps, chickweed, and lamb's quarters. And Rachel talked about ramps, didn't she?
Yeah.
Dr. Rachel Spade, foraging them in Pennsylvania with her.
Well, that's something that, especially Easterners, ramps are they're kind of like wild asparagus. They become the harbinger of spring when they come out. And I guess, how did she do them? She ate them raw. My grandma and I eat them roasted or grilled or something, and grill them until they get very charred and all of that stuff. And then you pull off the charred part and eat the inside, which is now steamy and delicious and sweet and all of that stuff.
So, I love them. So they're a member of the onion family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're pretty strong, aren't they? Ramps, or are they mild?
Pick them they're not so strong.
They're not so.
Yeah.
So there's another one for ramps that John included, grilled ramps with Romesco sauce. And what kind of sauce is a Romesco sauce?
Well, so this was this idea of grilling them, and you can serve them with anything. But in Spain, there is a holiday. They're called calcacots, and they grill them, and they serve them with Romesco, which is a pepper and tomato sauce. And they have these big, they're wild. People get together and have big picnics, and they pick
they party.
Yeah, the pigweed party.
The pigweed party. Stinging nettles is the next one in the package, and it seems like a lot of restaurants are doing things with nettles at this time of year.
Yeah, well, when they're younger, they're not quite so stingy. You want to be a little careful with them. But interestingly, when you heat them, when you cook them, they lose that stingy quality to them. And I included a recipe, one of my favorites, when you go out into the forest and pick stinging nettles, is pesto.
A nettle pesto?
Yeah, yeah.
And how careful do you have to be? You have to be wearing gloves when you pick these,
yes,
correct?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
And how do you get rid of the bright? Do you just scrape them off? I've never worked with nettles before.
Well, you got to get busy.
Okay. I will. And do you, with a little knife or a spoon, do you take the stingers off, or how do you?
Well, no. The stingers are they're like a little pricker that's on the end of the leaf.
Okay.
So you can't take them off, but you just cook them.
And you make this pesto with, like we normally do, ground almonds, like this?
Yeah, yeah. Use all the same cast of characters.
Purslane, that's the next one in this package. Talk about purslane.
Well, purslane grows everywhere, and it's something that in Mexico especially, they love purslane, and they eat it raw and cooked. And once you see purslane, once you identify it, you'll see it everywhere. And you'll see it all summer long, but it's really best in spring when it's tender and young.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
But it's invasive. If you're a gardener, you probably don't want this. Well, eat it.
Yeah.
It almost looks like jade, like a succulent.
Well, kind of like the jade plant. Yeah.
Like plants. So it's worldwide. It grows everywhere.
Yes, yeah.
But spring is really the peaking.
Well, because it's tender then and sweet.
Use it raw also?
Yes, you can, as I said, you can use it, eat it raw. You can eat it or eat it cooked.
And dandelions. One more.
And dandelions, you can certainly use those raw and cooked too. And we're beginning to see dandelions cropping up everywhere. So
have people expanded their tolerance for bitter? Because to me, they were really bitter. I tried dandelion greens years ago. It was just too bitter for me. Is there a way to tame their bitterness?
Well, eat them when they're young. So when they're just beginning to appear, and you can pull them up and eat them then. As they get older, kind of like purslane, they get more bitter over time.
So. And did your grandma use them medicinally?
She did. I can't remember exactly what she did with them.
But she used the whole dandelion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this whole package is now up on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. It's the Wild Spring Greens from John Ash's Cooking Wild, this cookbook from 2016. Taking a break, we will meet Chef Katie Riker from Green's Restaurant.
What
a coincidence in San Francisco. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Citing factors including declining enrollment, rising operational costs, and a projected $24 million budget deficit, Sonoma State University plans to eliminate all sports programs, 23 majors, and more than 60 faculty, staff, and management positions. Students, faculty, parents, local business owners, and the community at large are deeply upset, and some are filing lawsuits.
You wouldn't stop buying food to save money on groceries, would you? Of course you wouldn't. This is Lawrence Amaturo, and what SSU is doing by cutting all sports to save a tiny slice of its massive budget is pretty much the same thing. Sports drive student success and keep enrollment strong. Cutting sports is like starving the university to save pennies. I say to SSU, invest in our students, invest in our future, keep sports alive.
If you have an opinion about this situation, we would like to hear it. Please call 707-284-9124 and tell us what you think.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Phoebe from Lace House Linen.
Our commercial laundry in Petaluma has banked with Exchange since 1915. We appreciate the service, smiles, and support that we get from a local bank. Exchange Bank has been an extraordinary partner over the years with the necessary loans to expand and buy new equipment. We operate every day knowing that our money is secure and growing at Exchange Bank.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Thinking about buying a home? Now's the time. Contact Allison and Stephanie Norman, the Norman Home Team.
Owning a home comes with incredible benefits, a feeling of accomplishment, stability, and financial growth, as well as a true sense of community. It's easy to fall in love with home ownership.
That's right. When you own, you and your lender set your monthly payment. No surprise rent hikes or evictions.
Plus, as your home value grows and you pay down your mortgage, not your landlord's, you're building your wealth.
And let's not forget the sense of pride and peace of mind that comes with home ownership.
When you're ready to start your journey, we're here to help.
Reach out for a free, no obligation conversation today.
Now more than ever, who you work with matters. Contact the Norman Home Team. Visit normanhometeamwinecountry.com to get started. The Norman Home Team at Keller Williams Realty. Because two heads are better than one. DRE license number 01720334 and 02209237.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, and we're just delighted that Chef Katie Riker has come up from the Bay Area to sit in with us live on this Saturday morning to celebrate the release of Seasons of Greens, a collection of new recipes from the iconic San Francisco restaurant. Thanks. It's wonderful meeting you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And how long have you been at Greens?
I am going on 10 years this September.
Wow. How did you get the gig?
My story is actually quite unique, that I kind of started at Greens. I started at Greens when I was interning for the Culinary Institute of America. And I loved it so much that I never left. I've spent my whole career at Greens.
That's so almost unheard of.
Were you a vegetarian before, or was that your...
On and off, yeah.
Yeah.
Before starting culinary school, I was studying dietetics at Cornell University. I didn't end up finishing that program. I wanted to work a little bit more with my hands and do more tangible work. So from kind of that office dietetics clinical setting to working with my hands in the kitchen was...
And the term dietetics, it's not very delicious sounding.
Yeah. I did think that I would be doing a little bit more clinical work right off the bat, but it was a lot of chemistry and things that I found that I wasn't as interested in as actually just making the food and doing that. So I started at the CIA after dropping out. But because I was in kind of that dietetics world, I was an athlete in college. I had always been interested in a plant-based diet and just performative eating or eating for higher performance. Athletic performance. Yeah, exactly.
What kind of athletics did you do?
I was actually a rower.
A rower?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was on the crew team.
Why? That takes a lot of upper body strength.
Sure, yeah. So definitely a tough sport.
Yeah.
Do you row in the bay?
You know, I haven't really rowed since leaving college, but I run here and there, do some yoga, and a lot of hiking. The Bay Area is so great for hiking. Uh-huh.
This is really great, the lineage of having you here today. We've had the pleasure of talking with Deborah Madison, the founding chef at Green's Restaurant. The restaurant was founded in the late 70s, 1979, 1980 or so. And you know, another restaurant I know that was founded around 1979 and 1980.
What was that?
John Ash and Company.
Oh.
So that another thing you two kind of have in common. Deborah, you met Deborah Madison probably 35, 40 years ago, a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah, and we worked together for special events and did some really fun gigs.
So she kind of set the template for Green's. And when that book came out in 1987, it was like nothing else that anybody had seen for vegetarian cooking, even though there'd been vegetarian cookbooks, but not like that.
Yeah, she really helped to revolutionize vegetarian cuisine as we know it today.
So, and she has gone on to write many, many cookbooks following that. And then we first met Deborah in the early 90s, and then we talked with Annie Somerville in 1994. She came up and did the show after the release of her book in 1993. And then she did another follow-up book in 1999 or so, and she came back in 2000, 2002, met us again. And now we have the pleasure of your company, too. So all three chefs, and all women chefs.
Well, and only three. I mean,
over 45 years.
Restaurant. Can,
yes. It's quite a feat, for sure.
So do you still rely upon recipes, some of the recipes that your two predecessors did?
Absolutely, actually, yeah. There's definitely a lot of new stuff, but I like to say I was born and raised at Green since I started there so young and had my career there. So my style of cooking is very much the same as the Green style. So there's definitely new innovation happening, but we still have like the black bean chili on the menu.
Yeah.
We still have our spring rolls. And then sometimes I'll take some component recipes that are more traditional and I'll use them in a new way.
What you talk about in the book, early in the book, about also exploring the world of ethnic cooking more now than was done 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was always an undertone of some global inspiration. So we've always had some curries on the menu, for example, that take inspiration from Southeast Asia particularly. So lemongrass, coconut bases. And we've had, you know, like the chili and some sort of Tex-Mex Southwestern things. It was always brought back to very much a California interpretation. So since I took over the menu, I just thought that it would be nice to be a little bit more diverse, more inclusive on the menu. There's still an undertone of California cuisine, which is very Green's, of course. But we're trying to just expand and branch out a little bit. So I've put things on the menu like pierogies, which is like Ukrainian. My family is Ukrainian.
I saw that in the book.
Was
your mom a good cook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, still a good, hopefully still a good cook.
She's still a great cook, yes.
And is your mom from Ukraine or born here in the U.S.?
She was born here. I'm third generation American on both sides of my family, actually. So my mom's side is from Ukraine. It's actually now part of Poland, when we came here, the language was Ukraine. And my dad's side is Italian.
So would you talk a little bit about Green Gulch Garden and its connection, and it's still very, very much a part of the mix.
Absolutely, yeah. So Green Gulch, like Green's, was started as a Zen live work program. So the folks who went to the San Francisco Zen Center to study Zen were to translate those teachings into a workplace. So the Zen Center back in the 70s had many, many operations. So the farm was one of them. They also had the Tassajara Bread Bakery, mm-hmm. which is now closed. I believe they also had a little market and Greens, of course. So Greens was by far the most successful of their endeavors. So we did incorporate back in the 80s. But Green Gulch is actually still their, I believe, their last remaining live-work program. So the farm, which is in Marin Headlands, in right near Muir Beach, mm-hmm. They still have an internship program where Zen students can come and work on the farm, and they work very closely with Greens to provide veggies.
Do you get product from them that you cook with?
Yes, we do. So they are down in, like the name implies, down in a little gulch, down in a valley. It's very foggy and cold all the time. So they have the best cold weather produce. So baby lettuces, herbs, potatoes, beets, turnips, all of those things that really love that fog and cold. But every couple of years they try to grow tomatoes, and I always say good luck because it never works out.
Well, there is a tomato called San Francisco Fog that was developed specifically for coastal areas, and it's okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll give them some seeds as a gift, see how it works. But
so this has been an amazing collaboration for 45 years with Green Gulch Farms. And is Wendy, who's the head gardener there? She probably retired by now.
Yeah, she has retired. It's changed hands several times. Right now I'm working with a lovely person named Tim. Uh-huh. But it's been, so there was also Emila Heller. She just retired a few years ago. She was kind of like the Annie of Green Gulch for such a long time. But,
got it.
Yeah.
Well, this type of lineage, you just don't see this in restaurants in general in San Francisco. It was made a heritage restaurant recently, Greens.
So, yeah. So would you talk about that? You mentioned it at the beginning of the book, the legacy business.
Right. Yeah. So San Francisco has a legacy business program. And as long as the business has been in operation, I think 25 or 30 years, you can apply to this program and be listed as one of those businesses within the city that had made a significant cultural impact over that time period. So Greens was, we applied with the help of the National Park Service and with Fort Mason, which is where Greens is located. And we were accepted into the program, I believe, early last year.
Yeah. So are obviously there are other organizations like that. Some examples of?
You know, I can't think off the top of my head.
Sure.
There's over 400 of them, though. So there's plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And was there a ceremony involved, or did you get a plaque?
We did get a little plaque. Yeah.
And is it the restaurant?
It's at the restaurant. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny. We have so many like little plaques and things from over the years. There was also like a Greens Restaurant Day back in 2011 or 2013. Oh. So we have a little plaque from the governor for that. So little things over the years. But this one was
really
great.
Cookbooks of the Year with Deborah Madison and all kinds of people like that.
Oh, yes.
That's very exciting. The location is one of the most blissful locations in San mm-hmm. Francisco. Would you describe where it is exactly?
Well, it is. It's right in Fort Mason Center, and we are right along the water in Building A. So we have floor-to-ceiling windows that just overlook the marina and the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. You see the Marin Headlands behind the bridge as well. It's really beautiful. And if you're outside the restaurant and if you walk just around the Fort Mason campus, you can see Alcatraz, you can see Angel Island. It's just a beautiful location in the north of the city.
Yeah, it's so funny because the times we've been there, I'm always so enamored and taken with the view. I forget, there's great food in front of me also. It's just beautiful. Now, if you sit out back on the back, you don't have that view, do you?
No, not on the outdoor patio.
On the outdoor patio. So dine inside. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Chef Katie Riker. She's the executive chef for Greens Restaurant. And she started right out of culinary school at Greens. It's a remarkable story. And as such, obviously, you have such a love and affinity for this place that what a great place to start your career.
That's right. Well, struck gold.
And to end your career. Not yet.
When she'll be there, we'll talk to her in 35 years from now and invite her. But no, we'll have her back before then. The cookbook has just come out, a month or so ago? How long has it been?
Actually, on Tuesday. Just on Tuesday.
Six days ago. Oh, my. Well, thank you for debuting this on the show this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Seasons of Greens, a collection of new recipes from the iconic San Francisco restaurant. Plus, you still have a lot of the iconic recipes that you cannot dare take off the menu.
That's right.
Be a revolt. And this is Katie Riker. We're meeting her for the first time this morning. And so are you. And one of you at the end of the show will win an autographed copy of this just-released book. It will be a keepsake for you in your kitchen.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Got a drain that's clogged up? Or maybe a toilet? Or a faucet that just won't quit leaking? This is Austin, founder of More Home Services, and I want you to know that it does make a difference which plumber you call. At More Home Services, we respect your time by showing up when we say we'll be there. Our technicians are all background checked and drug tested and will greet you with a smile. They're trained to do the job right the first time, and they carry over 1,000 parts on their trucks, so they won't have to order something and then come back later. They leave the work area cleaner than they found it, and your final bill will be the same as what they quoted. No surprises. So, if you need a plumber, it does make a difference who you call. Call More Home Services. Our number is 707-505-8000 or find us online at morehomeservices.com.
We do more to treat you right. More Home Services.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your complimentary consultation with Dr. Tom, call 707-542-8346.
Let's stay young together.
Visit Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Voted best in the North Bay by the Bohemian, Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
Right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's gonna spoil him like we do?
No worries, you can take that vacation. At Paradise Pet Resorts, your pet gets the royal treatment while you're away. With webcams, you can check in and watch your furry friend's wagging tail and playful antics all day long. Your pet gets playtime, socializing, belly rubs, ear scratches, and more. Plus, daycare helps burn off that extra energy, so they'll be just as relaxed as you.
This is exactly what we needed. Let's check in on Buckley.
Those webcams are a lifesaver.
Book your pet stay today. Boarding, daycare, and grooming at Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa. Visit ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resorts.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a fairly cloudy overnight, we can look to more clouds and around a 25% chance of showers to give us daytime highs in the mid to high 50s. Later in the evening, we can anticipate more clouds and around a 30% chance of showers to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. This cooling trend is expected to run through tomorrow. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen this morning. Thanks for joining us. And we really thank Chef Katie Riker from Green's Restaurant in San Francisco for coming up and sitting in with us this morning as the Seasons of Greens cookbook has just been released on Tuesday of this year. And we were talking off air about efforts of a 45-year-old restaurant to contemporize, to modernize, to stay with the times, to not be stuck in the past. And yet people that have been loyal to the restaurant really resisting certain major changes. What was one of those changes?
So I'm not sure if this is a resistance from the guests or more my own personal internal struggle, but deep frying was a big, big contentious point for a while.
Because it had never been part of the restaurant's battery?
Yeah, we don't have one. A lot of visiting chefs will ask where our deep fryer is, and we said, well, you can grab a pot and put oil in it. And so for the longest time, the only things that we had fried were things like capers or some sage leaves to top a pizza. It was only those small little components, but never a part of a bigger picture.
So why?
You know, I think at the time, or just in our history, it was more, maybe we had more of a focus on health or just making lighter fare. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think now with how much vegetarian cuisine has become widespread, it came down to texture and what we can offer to our guests. So in a world where you can walk down the street and get really good vegan fried chicken or a really decadent moist chocolate cake that's vegan, I didn't want to deny our guests such a key texture. And with our global cuisine expansion, we also found that we kind of needed deep frying to be able to make certain dishes as authentic as possible. Yeah, so we ended up, I mean, it took me about 3 years to muster up the courage, and the deep fryer we have can fit 2 poblano peppers at a time. Oh, it's very small, but we did end up getting one, and it's been really great.
And what are you frying?
We fry a whole bunch of things now. So we started off with just frying some noodles to top khao soi curry, and then we moved into some curry puffs, which are Singaporean street food. Right now we're using it for some yuca fries, which is a recipe also in the cookbook.
Yeah.
In the summertime, we'll do chiles rellenos, another recipe in the book.
Cool.
So it kind of just depends on how the menu's flowing, but there's usually at least one thing that's fried.
Wow. And what do you fry in?
We're frying in canola oil. I know that's a somewhat contentious thing right now with seed oils, but unfortunately it is the most neutral and cost-effective without being, I think, overly gross or processed.
Yeah,
you know, some deep fryer oils are like solid at room temperature. We're not doing any of that. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
What did you use at the restaurant? Did you have a preferred oil or what did, when you were frying?
We use canola.
You did too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
Partly because it's neutral in flavor, so that was an important consideration. Yeah. The Mel Fry, which is the solid one. It's like it was so gross.
Couldn't do it. And then rice bran, I know, is a pretty popular frying medium, too.
It is. Yeah, I find it to be a little less neutral than canola oil, so we stick to that. Yeah, and something like a grapeseed oil or an avocado oil would also work, but it's just so expensive it's just not worth.
I noticed in your book under the in Vegetarian Pantry, there was a product that I had never heard of before, and that's a particular kind of miso. Would you talk about that?
Yes. The Shared Cultures miso that I talk about probably 100 times in the book is made by my best friends, who I actually met through work. So Shared Cultures is a small batch miso maker in San Francisco. They started their company after the pandemic. This was already when I was the executive chef of Greens. And at the time, I was trying to develop a vegan fish sauce. And I was intrigued by the lion's mane mushroom miso that they were making at the time, because lion's mane mushrooms kind of have this sort of like scallopy, fish-like flavor to them. So I reached out and got a couple of jars so I could do some recipe development. And years later, now they spend Christmas with me. They've become very close friends of mine. But their products, besides them just being my beloved friends, their products are unmatched. They have of great commitment to local farmers, which was very important to Greens. For example, all of their beans are Rancho Gordo. They use many local farms for the various misos that they do. And what I really like about their misos is that they are soy-free, which is very important at the restaurant because we serve so many people with dietary restrictions. And they really help us build flavor in a vegetarian world. So our vegetables don't necessarily have the same umami that like a steak would have, right? So you could very easily just cook steak with salt and pepper and it fills your mouth and it's full of fat and it's got all this flavor. But a vegetable, sometimes you have to do a little bit more to it to just give you that same sort of unctuousness. So fermented things like miso really give you that umami that vegetables sometimes are missing. So I like to pair shared cultures misos that are already flavored with things like mushrooms or mirepoix or peppers, and then that helps to make the food a little bit richer.
So you talk about one kind of bizarre ingredient that you talk a lot about is pickled mustard seeds. That it's a favorite of yours.
I do love pickled mustard seeds, and I'm not the biggest mustard fan, but yeah, I know it's very strange, but they don't really taste mustardy. They kind of become this little pop that you crunch on and they pop in your mouth and they provide a little bit of sweetness and something like maybe a little bitter, but tart. Yeah, it's
plus
wonderful.
They look cool.
Yeah, they do.
They look the poor man's caviar.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So a few recipes feature pickled mustard seeds in the book.
Right. So the one that's in season right now would be the asparagus with cannellini beans. That one is really delicious. And then another one is the cabbage and taleggio salad, which I suppose would still be in season now. But I like that one in the fall, moving into the winter.
Beautiful. And just finishing up with the shared culture brand of miso, do you have a preferred one in their lineup that you use more than others?
Oh, well, anything they have at the time is my favorite.
So it's rotating.
They do rotate.
Where do you get it?
You can get it online on their website, but they're also in some specialty stores, which I think they also have a map on their website if you'd like to get it in person. Mm-hmm. I know they're at Tokyo Fish Market in Berkeley. They're at Bernal Cutlery in the city.
I must tell you, my worldview of miso has really been expanded just now because I think of white miso, red miso, brown miso, and I don't go much beyond that is my understanding of the complexities and nuances of miso. You obviously, Chef Ash, know of different kinds of misos.
Yeah, and there are a lot of, I guess you would call them, artisan miso makers around the country who do the most amazing things. The one that I have, Hodo, doesn't Hodo do a miso?
I'm not sure if Hodo does miso. I know they make yuba and other soy milk products.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a really wonderful artisan movement, I think, just in general across the U.S. where misos and other ferments are really taking shape.
I always thought associated with soy.
Right.
I never thought of it as other than soy. So right on, you've exploded my worldview of miso.
Yeah, so it turns out that miso is usually made with a bean and koji rice. So you just need those two and ferment them together to make miso. Mm-hmm. But that koji, that fungus, that molding fungus, really just needs a starch in order to ferment, a starch and a protein. So that could be any bean and it could be any vegetable. So that's what they discovered and that's what they do.
I've learned more about the pickled crushed mustard seeds, cabbage, pickles, but also a garlic confit is a big fave of yours too.
Yes, I love garlic confit. It's the easiest thing to make. And it lasts for such a long time that there's really no reason not to have it in the house. if you need a quick dinner.
Was it you that developed the green goddess hummus?
Yes.
Wow.
Love that hummus.
That's a real love letter to San Francisco, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And it's also, I think, an ode to our farm because once Green Gulch really gets started for the season, they usually hit me with a ton of herbs right off the bat. And at the time when I developed this recipe, I was so excited that I bought way too many herbs. I didn't know what to do with them all. So I said, you know, let's try this Green Goddess as a hummus and see how it goes. And boy, I'm real happy I did, because that became by far the best-selling hummus I've ever done at Greens.
It's still on the menu now?
I actually just put it back on the menu a few days ago, so you can go get it here in the area.
Good time to go to the restaurant. The book is spreads and sauces, and then we move into snacks and to share, and then soups and salads, moving on to doughs for savory pastries, vegetables, sides, beans and grains, and then we get into the main courses, and of course we can't forget dessert. It's all here in the new Seasons of Greens. Executive Chef Katie Riker from Green's Restaurant in San Francisco wrote it. Just came out on Tuesday, a collection of new recipes from the iconic San Francisco restaurant. John and I are having a chance to take a first look, and you will be too, especially if you're the lucky winner of an autographed copy shortly before noon. Back with Katie right after a couple messages.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Every Saturday and Wednesday from 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. Spring showers bring beautiful flowers. You'll find vibrant flowers and crisp greens from Coyote Family Farm, affordable leafy greens and onions from J.M. Ibarra, and a variety of fresh mushrooms from Fidel's Gourmet Growers. Craving berries? Kem's got strawberries and blueberries just waiting for you. Farm fresh eggs? No shortage here. Saturdays in Santa Rosa. Geyserville Gourmet has pickled vegetables to brighten up any meal, or try a specialty hummus in original or garlic. And don't miss Santa Rosa Seafood, offering fresh fish every Saturday, as well as specialty salads, cioppino, and clam chowder. Restaurant quality food vendors every Wednesday and Saturday. Expanded curbside shopping service available.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
License number 254603.
Hey, Aunt Laura, do you know what would be more fun than working together?
What's that, Danny?
Going on vacation together.
That would be fun, Danny. Planning is the best part. Where are you thinking?
Well, you know how people are always thinking I must be a guy.
You mean because your name is Danny?
Right. And when they hear your alto voice, some people think maybe you're a guy too.
Plus, there are not that many women plumbers, but we are out there.
Why don't we go to a dude ranch?
Oh, Danny, you're such a funny girl.
D-O-T-E-L-L-I, go tell me.
And remember, everyone, if you have drains or sinks or water heaters,
anything that needs to be fit or be fixed, remember us at Gatelli Plumbing.
I get the white horse.
I bet they'll have two.
Visit us online at GatelliPlumbing.com.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with special guest Chef Katie Riker from Green's Restaurant in San Francisco. The new cookbook just came out Tuesday called Seasons of Greens, a collection of new recipes from the iconic San Francisco restaurant. And let's just go over the chapters quickly. And John, why don't you grab some recipes that kind of lit you up from each chapter?
Well, I want to say, number one, your photographer was great.
Oh, yeah.
They're really delicious looking things. Things you want to try. And the other thought that I had is, they're not difficult recipes.
Right.
You know that this is something that anybody who's interested in cooking could do.
Yes. And, that's actually kind of indicative of the Greens cuisine in general as well, is that if you really start with great ingredients, you don't need to do too much to make a delicious dish. It's really not about your skill and more about how much time you have. So there's some recipes that are better for weeknights and then others that take a little bit longer, but there is a nice mix.
So can I ask you, do you eat meat?
I do, actually. Most people are surprised to hear that. I do work at the restaurant about 80 hours a week, I am mostly plant-based because of that fact. Uh-huh. But every once in a while the craving strikes that I want something that my grandma used to make or something like that. So I don't write it off completely, but I am mostly plant-based.
Well, I think about those wonderful things that come from the bay, that come from just outside your door, herring and stuff like that. That would be
right.
Great.
Every once in a while, I'll make a dish and I'm like, man, this would be so good with just a little prosciutto.
During the break, John mentioned that when we come back, he definitely wanted to talk about ricotta. And you mentioned in possibly the easiest and most delicious recipe in the book, and I'm quoting this, is the whipped garlic ricotta.
Yeah, it's surprisingly easy as long as you have that nice, beautiful garlic confit on hand, like we were talking about before. Mm. You just very simply put the ricotta and the garlic confit and a little bit of salt in a food processor and you blend it until smooth, which is so lovely. Ricotta on its own has a little bit of a texture to it. It has a little bit of grainy texture, but when you whip it in the food processor, it becomes like silky, beautiful cream. It's just wonderful.
And you mentioned a drizzle of honey and some black pepper on there.
Oh, yes, for sure. And I would also suggest doing if it's in season, the eggplant caponata, which is another recipe in the book. Those go hand in hand, and that's actually how I serve it at the restaurant.
And it's just a caponata like eggplant?
Yes, and it's an eggplant caponata. Mm. My recipe incorporates a little bit more California flair, so we add a little bit of figs and some orange zest.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Instead of the raisins for sweetness.
Another
yeah.
one, Chef Ash.
Yeah, well, gosh, they're so delicious sounding. One of the ones that is, again, really simple, because I'm at this age where simplicity is really important to me.
Sure.
But I was really taken by the saffron risotto with goat cheese.
Yes, another favorite recipe for the summer months. Yeah, I mean, saffron, it is an expensive herb, of course, but a little goes a long way. And it really just helps to accentuate those flavors of those beautiful summer vegetables that you put on top. Particularly, I always love to incorporate fairy tale eggplant with that dish.
Mm.
Just these beautiful, tiny little eggplants. Fairy tale is really the perfect name for them. Putting that with the saffron and goat cheese really just makes those flavors sing.
You have a couple of great sounding rhubarb recipes in here. Spring rhubarb should be coming up pretty
soon.
It is right now.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mrs. Garner, my wife, looked at the cookbook and really loved the idea because she can live on celery, by the way. So there's a celery and peanut noodle salad that sounded really intriguing.
Yeah, I love that salad. I think celery for too long has been the supporting vegetable. It's in mirepoix, it's in vegetable stock, it's, a little piece of something else. But I really love celery as a main dish. It obviously goes really well with peanuts. We've all had ants on a log. And some chefs in the Bay Area also pair it with other things like pecorino cheese. And it's becoming its own...
Do you know what's interesting about celery is that it changes when you cook it.
Yes.
It takes on a very different flavor. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When it's raw, like in the salad, it's very crisp and it's very juicy, actually.
You mentioned the first recipe that you put your stamp on in the menu was pierogi with peas and pasta.
Yeah. So my mom's side is Ukrainian. I grew up making pierogies with my grandma and my mom my whole life. We didn't do peas and feta. That is my own green spin, but we did the typical onion and potato and cheese pierogies growing up. But even though I had already been changing things on the menu for some time, once I had the opportunity to put that special dish menu, it really felt like it was mine. That's
Great. We have a couple more minutes. John, you want to shout out another recipe?
The pozole, just because I'm a big pozole fan. So the pozole verde.
Yes.
So can you describe that dish?
Yeah. So the tomatillos in the pozole are really nice and tart. Uh-huh. So it feels like you have this really nice, bright, beautiful summer soup. So it doesn't really have that heavy, more tomato feeling with pork. Mm-hmm. It usually has something to make it quite heavy. In this case, the zucchini and the corn and all of those tomatillos, you end up with a soup that's really nice and bright, really herbaceous with all of that cilantro that you add in. It's definitely a favorite of my staff's. But anytime I make this soup of the day, I typically make double what I normally would make because all of the staff really enjoy it as well. So definitely a favorite.
We're almost down to the end. Don't get any chance to ask you about the lemongrass tofu and asparagus stir fry. We've got a big pot of lemongrass growing in the backyard.
Oh, great.
It'd be fun to do that. Shepherd's pie occasionally is on the menu.
Only occasionally. Mostly for special occasions.
And then great desserts like the vegan lemon mousse.
But we can order, call ahead, huh?
You can. Yeah. John Ash can. And just then the strawberries, rhubarb squares, perfect for spring. It's all here in the brand new cookbook. Seasons of Greens just came out Tuesday. Chef Katie Riker wrote it, and she's with us this morning. Would you give us your favorite number today between 1 and 10?
Sure.
What is it?
3.
Caller number 3 at 636-1350 will win an autographed copy of this brand new cookbook. Remember, you cannot have won anything on KSRO within the last 30 days. That's the only parameters. Caller number 3, 1-707-636-1350. Thank you for writing this beautiful book. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming up to Santa Rosa. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yes. It's a pleasure.
And, you know, we'll have some special anniversary. You'll come back.
Sure.
So the next book.
The next book, yes. I actually did love writing this one. I'd love to write another one. Uh-huh. I'm thinking maybe soups.
Good idea. Just talk to John Ash about soups, too. Thanks, Katie. It was wonderful having you on
so
the show
much.
Today. Back
Thanks
right after
me.
This. Caller number 3.
Voted best in the North Bay by the Bohemian, Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
Right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's gonna spoil him like we do?
No worries. You can take that vacation.